Today, my guest is Tootie Damian. Tootie, how are you?
I'm good. Nice to see you here, and nice to have you here for our conference.
I want to start by saying thank you for inviting me here to Romania, to the IT camp, which is almost over.
It is.
And almost in the books as a successful, I understand, another successful IT camp.
Yep, that's right.
So you're an organizer of this, so you got to be happy.
Well, I'm relieved more than anything. It's by taking into consideration the days of the conference and the like 2 or 3 days before the conference when it's the busiest, we're getting near the end, so it's
all
good.
You haven't slept much lately, have you?
I have slept, I think, 9 hours in the past 3 days.
9 whole hours?
Oh, yeah.
Slacker. And then you also, that's not enough. You're organizing this conference and inviting all the speakers. You also gave one of the keynotes.
Yes.
And another session.
That's right. But we tried to get rid of our sessions as early as possible. Okay. And the keynote was probably the earliest. So my keynote was with Mihai, the co-organizer of the conference.
Mihai's been on the show.
That's right. We just said last year and 2 years ago, we both had our sessions on the second day. Mm. And besides all the organizing and running around, working on your slides the day before or the very day you have your session is also time consuming.
Yeah, and stressful.
And stressful.
Right. All right. I saw your keynote and I was impressed by it wasn't impressed the right word. It was designed to terrify the audience, I think. I expected people in the audience to get up and run out and call their sysadmin because it was all about security threats, right? Hacker threats.
It was. And it was more of an attempt to make people aware that there are things out there that they might not know and that they should be interested in finding out. Because if you don't know a threat is out there, it doesn't mean it's not out there, and right. It doesn't mean you couldn't be affected by it.
Sure. So I think most people, they care about security, and they think they're doing a good job of it. They'll have passwords on accounts. They'll have accounts that have limited privileges and only give the administrative accounts and passwords to certain people. They put that post-it note in their desk drawer with the password on it at the end of the day. So.
Yeah, and they leave the key in the drawer, right? Because it's easier to open.
But
it.
The passwords and administrative accounts that sounds really good. And ACLs, access control list, but it's not enough, is it?
It's never enough.
It's not close to enough. In a matter of 10 minutes, you hack the administrative password on an account.
Yeah, that's right.
It seemed like a very realistic scenario.
It is, and unfortunately, it's something that has been out there for a while. So just for reference, I showed a pass the hash attack, and then using those hashes, I just did a lookup on some rainbow tables.
Rainbow table is what?
When you have the hashes, the rainbow tables are sort of a cheap and easy way to figure out which hashes belong to which or correspond to which password. You pre-generate all the possible hashes, and then you just do a lookup on the table, and that's much faster than doing brute force on anything. If you have the end result in a huge list somewhere, and you just go through the list, and you see, hey, this is the hash, and this is my hash, and they match, so this is the password that I generated that hash from, it's easier than just doing brute force on a really complex password.
Okay.
So, and that took like, what, 10, 12 minutes to go through a number of very, very complex passwords just because the what's called the LM hash was still available in the Active Directory domain and it was still stored in memory somewhere.
I see. LM hash is what?
LM hash is the worst possible way to keep a hash for a password, possibly, nowadays. It's something that's been around for, I think, 15 years or so. And it's the way to store your password in memory for convenience purposes. Like you log on your computer, then you want to access a network share. If you were to enter your password for every network share that you accessed, you'd probably go crazy.
Right.
So Windows comes in and helps you with that by storing your credentials in memory. Now, it doesn't store the plain text password. It stores a hash of it.
Okay, and a hash means you've basically encoded it.
That's right.
In a way that theoretically can't be decoded. It's a one-way
encryption. It's a one-way encryption, and if you want to check if the hash corresponds to a password, you take the password and you re-encrypt, you
and see if
recompute
the hash
and see if it's the same hash, so it means it must be the same password.
Okay.
And that's how you compare. But the way the LM hashes are built are inherently very easy to, decompile or decrypt.
Okay.
Right. So you basically get a really easy way of going back to the original password because of the way it was originally designed. And it's by design, and it was by design at the time, and it's been there ever since Windows NT as an authentication method, and it's been kept in recent OS versions of Windows for legacy purposes. Like if you have a really old, printer somewhere in your network and that uses any form of authentication,
it relies on
the LM hash, or it could rely. And if you want to access that printer using your credentials, like have the printer tell you, hey, you've got rights to print or not, it would probably use that if it would be a really old printer. So you could right now, and ideally you should disable the LM hashes in your infrastructure. There's an option in Active Directory to do just that.
I see.
To have all computers in the network stop storing LM hashes and just use a null for the LM hash and use the newer and better NTLM hash. If you could just do that, you might run into issues with really old devices.
They would just stop working.
Authentication.
They would stop authenticating. Yeah. So you'd have to re-authenticate every time you use them.
Yeah, you'd have issues with that. So, but usually with newer systems and newer devices, you shouldn't have those problems, and it's way, way easier to just try, check, see if it works for you, because the fact that those LM hashes are still there is a major issue. And that was one of the points of my talk from yesterday.
Is it fair to say that if I disable LM hash and I replace all those legacy systems that require it, am I okay then?
No.
No.
But it's slightly better.
It's slightly better.
It wouldn't take...
That's slightly encouraging.
Yeah, it wouldn't take someone 5 minutes or 10 minutes to find your password. It would probably take him a few hours or a few days.
Okay.
But then again, all that hackers have is time, right?
All right.
So it's really about the knowledge of what can be out there, what can happen to you, and how you can protect yourself against it. The scenario was really a common one, and Microsoft is working on this, and Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 and Windows 8.1 Update 1 did bring some improvements on the way the LM hashes, or the hashes themselves, it's not just LM hashes, it's hashes themselves are stored and the way you can access them or not. So if you run 8.1 or 8.1 with the latest updates, you might be safer because the authentication mechanism and the system components will not release this information because they run at a privilege level that any admin, local admin, is now not able to access anymore.
Okay.
So it won't release that information because they're stored in memory, and it's really common for companies to have most of their users run as local admin on their workstations.
Yes.
So that's all you need, because local admin on a Windows 7, Windows 8 machine could allow you to get those hashes from memory. You don't need the password. Hmm. You just need the hash. And that's that was the first part of my presentation.
So one thing is just to install the latest patches.
Yeah, that's one thing, because Microsoft are aware of this. They have been aware of it for a while.
You're sort of hedging that, saying that Microsoft isn't done with patching all these problems.
They're not, but they are doing a really, really good job at addressing this from the OS end. And this is not like it's a bug in the OS. It's by design, and it's always been like that.
Right. There's a trade-off between usability versus security.
That's right. But the thing is, you don't really need the password. You, in most cases, you just need the hash. And if you can, as the attack I mentioned, pass the hash, you grab the hash somehow, you get the hash, and then you pass that along to any system in the network requiring authentication. Like you want to access a network share, the network share, you can pass a hash to it, and it will give you access based on that hash that you pass to it. You don't have to log in if there's a way or a tool that will allow you to just do that, right? Mm. To impersonate that user and send that hash instead over the wire,
okay.
You'll get access to whatever those credentials will offer you.
Okay.
So it's
so,
just
so let me ask you this question. If I'm being careful, I'm patching my system, I'm disabling LMHs, how do I know when I've done enough? Is it possible to know, or what's the... What kind of guidelines do I have?
The easiest answer is it's never enough. If at any point...
Well, if I work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week,
you can,
would that be... I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I need to strike that balance.
And you won't. And
At what point can I just say, okay, I can sleep at night?
You can only take that path or make that decision if you do some risk assessment.
Okay.
Like, if you know how much harm a certain type of incident or data loss or data getting compromised could generate, like this would cause me to lose this amount of money, or it would cause me to like lose the company or something.
Again.
You set some values for each levels of risk, and
right.
You make all possible, you try to find all possible solutions to minimize those risk
okay.
elements. Now, there's always going to be something out there. Even if it's 0.01% chance, it's still a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And if that thing with 0.01% will cause you to lose the company, you should probably look into that instead of the thing that has 50% chance of happening every day, but will only cause you to like lose 5 minutes clicking away at something and making
right.
it go away.
Okay.
Right. So it's always a trade-off. It's always a trade-off. It depends on how important that information that you want to protect is.
Okay.
It really matters more when you put it into context. It's something that varies from company to company or even from individual to individual. Would I want to protect my phone or my laptop? If I don't have any relevant data and the entire value of this phone, right, is X amount of dollars, and
right.
that's it.
Yeah.
There's no data on it. This is how much it's going to cost me if I lose it. If I've got
$300 phone.
Yeah.
Versus,
if I've got important company data, that
could be hundreds of thousands.
That's
dollars,
right.
Actually.
This is why I would need to protect this particular device.
Okay.
In a.
So that's the assessment. The factors are going to be the value of the data, the likelihood that it can be.
That's
hacked,
right.
And of course, the expense of. Preventing that.
That's right.
Sort of
you need a certain amount of hours to invest, and you need a certain sum to spend to make sure that this thing gets addressed in a manner that's satisfactory to you and that reduces the risk that it poses.
I've heard this phrased as we should make it more expensive for hackers to get at the data than the data itself is worth. And I'm not sure that's a good rule because not all hackers are motivated by money.
That's right. It's usually, it's not a matter of can a hacker get into my system? It's more a matter of how long will it take for a hacker to get into my system?
Interesting.
And if you're persistent enough, you could probably get into any protected system out there, provided you have the time, the resources, everything that you need. The thing is it worthwhile for the hacker to do that? If he sees that this is something that's going to take 2 months or 2 years, he's probably just going to move to the next potential target instead. Right? So, yes, there's a cost involved. If you can like speed up things by just getting a better computer or a computer farm, or just using the cloud now for really short but really intense compute power. You need a lot of compute power to like find a password in a list.
Okay.
You can just grab one of the so many cloud providers out there, get a bunch of virtual machines, put them to work. Okay. 1 hour, you've got your data, you turn them down, you pay the $5, and you've done the work that you it would have taken you a week or so to do.
Yeah,
so that's one thing.
The cloud,
that the
like
cloud
so
changes.
Many technologies, it's neither good nor evil.
That's right. It's how you. It's how you. It's always
it's
about
it's
the
wielded.
People.
Yep. Okay. Should we talk about something else? That we should. Is there something we haven't said that we should have?
Well, I think the main point that I wanted to make during the session yesterday, and that would be relevant for this discussion, is that security is never about the technologies, it's never about the tools, it's never about the policies, it's always about the people.
Okay.
And it doesn't really matter if you get the most expensive device out there to protect your network and you try and find a way to ensure that only the most complex passwords are allowed on your network. This is not going to fix the issue. It's always about the people, and if the people don't know what they should expect, they don't have that knowledge about security, they don't know what to click on and what not to click on.
Mm.
They don't know what to do when a certain message pops up.
Okay.
Then that's your main issue.
Educating your workforce.
Educating your workforce. And you can, it's not about the management or the employees, or it's about everybody.
Okay.
Everybody should have that basic knowledge about what is out there, what could happen, and that way they're protected themselves from any potential attacks because they know or they could recognize such a thing when it's out there.
Hmm.
So getting your people to find out about these things, to learn about these things, is the best thing that you could do.
That's
now, then those people would find the better tools for you, would find the best policies for you and for your company once they know what they need to protect your company against.
Hmm.
It's never the other way around.
Interesting. Are you writing about this? Like blogging about
it? Not so much.
Do you have an online presence?
I do, but I haven't written in a long while. I rarely spend time online writing on my blog anymore.
Okay.
I'm really busy working with the customers more.
Okay.
I do this with customers as like custom consulting and security
okay.
audits, less so in a public way. But yesterday was one of the exceptions. I've had several others in the past, so
mm-hmm.
I still do that from time to time.
I think it's. I'm glad you did, because I think it's an important point that not only a lot of people don't think about, but particularly developers don't think about. That developers think
yeah.
that it's the infrastructure guys.
Yeah, that's
problem
right.
to worry
security
about.
Security is always about
and
the
this is
feature.
Primarily a developer's conference.
Yeah, it is.
So that message to get out to them, I thought was really important.
It is, and that was another main point that I did want to address. I mean, I've seen this over and over, because even if I'm an infrastructure guy, we do work with the developers,
mm-hmm.
and we do work with, and we've got our internal DevOps guys that are really close to the developers,
okay.
And we do see this. We do see developers assuming that security is either a feature that you add when the product is almost ready, or it's something that should be ensured by the underlying infrastructure and not by your code.
Hmm.
And that's, I
no,
think
that's a mistake.
Yeah, I think that's probably something that comes from the old ways of Windows XP, with teaching users that you can do pretty much anything. With XP, you always had your account run as admin. Any application that you wrote had the same privileges. So if you opened up Paint, a modified version of Paint that you built yourself, just because it was running on your administrator account, it could format your computer, it could delete everything, it could make all sorts of changes, and it could draw really nice pictures, right? So the fact that you didn't have the concept of security embedded in the application itself and making sure that you as a developer think about, hey, what privileges is this application going to have? You're always assuming that you could write anywhere. You start your app and you write your log files in C, Windows, System 32, right? You could assume that because it was probably true.
Right.
And that started changing, but it didn't really change for most people out there. And there are still things when it comes to development. You think you could do anything, and you don't think about, hey, I'm assuming I will probably not have permissions to do that, so I need to find another way, or at least throw an error message that I cannot do that and make sure that it's properly handled by the user. Now, going forward, it's always a trade-off with costs. So I've sat around in meetings where developers and architects were discussing application architecture, and security was like, it would be mentioned, it was almost never on the list of features,
right,
or on the list of things that you would have to think about for every component of the app. And in the end, it would really go to a point where you'd have three things to choose from, and you could only choose two. And that's security, usability, and price.
Okay.
So you could have something that's...
another golden triangle.
Yeah, another golden triangle. And you can just pick any two, right? That's all there is to it at all times. And people usually pick cheap and usable.
Right. Tudy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Once again, thank you, David, for joining us here at IT Camp. This is a technology conference, but it's always about friends, and you can find a lot of friends, even if you're only bound by technology.